I am a hologram from 2046 by Naomi Elizabeth. My innermost thoughts, apparently. Copyright 2011 by Naomi Elizabeth, all rights reserved. Part 1. Warning, not funny. Warning, this material is not funny. One day I want to write some other volume that's funny, but this one is rude and technical. It mainly serves to reveal the bleakness of my own outlook on life, and I don't know if you personally are ready for that. I would like to do a different one that's like an easy reader for assholes on planes, but this one is totally brutal and may scare you. Who fucking reads a book anyway? Are you retarded? Do you not have streaming video on the internet? Books are a dollar. I'm pretty sure that means no one gives a crap. You must be on a plane or in the hospital, I guess. I hate the casual, down-to-earth style of contemporary writing. Everyone has such an easygoing and straightforward air. It's like the author is just your friend, and you're out at a nasty cafe together, just chatting over a gross beverage. Everyone is so whimsical and fun, it's a nightmare. I hate that, and I hate the fact that history was unable to prepare me for the fact that I would be writing in the very same barfy style. Actually, I feel that I should apologize because my internal monologue is not very feminine or sexy. To me, it sounds like Max Headroom in here. I believe it was Max Headroom who said, "Yes, tune in to Network 23, the network that's a real mind blower." His head explodes, then reappears. And I love those blitverts. It doesn't sound exactly like that, but that is a relatively accurate approximation. It's disturbing on a lot of levels. You're probably thinking, well, I used to think this girl was attractive in a way, but now that I'm perusing the contents of her mind, I'm getting the impression she's too much like Max Headroom, and I don't have as much of a boner anymore. Apologies. Also, next time I'm going to write a steamy tell-all where I get effed in lots of fancy hotels and I reveal the exact sizes of all the Hollywood A-list wangs. And it's going to be a searing indictment of the entertainment industry too, and a lot of people are going to lose their jobs because I bring to light their true evils. Additionally, I'd like to do a detailed account of which types of underwear I prefer to wear on any given day according to my many fanciful moods. True. Wait, actually, I am going to write about that. That is an important topic. I understand if you're mainly interested in skipping ahead to the parts of the book that have sex in them. I can point you in that direction now to save time. It's no problem. Obviously, the chapter titled Men would be where you would want to start. The X-Files lesbian fan fiction has some adult content, too. My first internet porn is sort of misleading because it implies that I participated in porn, whereas really I was just looking at a porn website for the first time. The part called A Study in Revulsion is sort of sexual in a way, but mainly regarding serial rapist murderers. I'm not sure if you're into that sort of thing. Running over bicyclists. Today I almost killed some guy on a bike while I was driving because I didn't see him when I was changing lanes, and I have two suggestions for this guy because it was an emergency and all and we didn't really have time to talk. First of all, sir, if you only have half a second to get someone's attention, I wouldn't yell, "Do you know how to drive?" Because that is a very rhetorical question, a question which is apt to send me further into my reverie. Honestly, even now, there's no easy answer to that question. It really makes a person wonder, what could I do better? Are there rules for driving experts that I am not aware of? What are the secrets of the pros? And so on. Second of all, I wouldn't scream at me like a little bitch, because it ruins the pathos that I want to feel during a moment when something very serious is happening. The tone of the screaming itself led me to believe that someone would certainly kill him in the near future. Men. So there's all this information out there about men and how they're touching themselves all the time and how they never have enough sex and it's this whole awful situation. But from a woman's perspective, it's really hard to tell. You are keeping the boners a secret, men. We can't tell they're there. I guess this is one of the great cover-ups of modern times. Anyway, it's really working, and congratulations, everyone. If there's one thing I have sympathy for, it's that men seem to be going around in a constant state of sexual repression. Women don't have that problem as bad most of the time, but I go out of my way to relate because I can imagine how stupid it would be. Okay, so here's a story that has some boners in it, and there's the off chance that it could result in you having a boner, I suppose. So I apologize in advance. Hopefully the comedy value will outweigh your troubles in this instance. So I was taking a shower with my boyfriend at the time, and it was very chill, nobody had a boner, we were just hanging out. And then he asked me if it would be okay if he could put some soap on my ass and then kneel down and use the soap to wash his face with. Creative, right? So I said, okay, that's fine, and he did it. And then that gave him a boner, and we ended up having sex in the shower. So after we got out and we were drying off, I looked in the mirror, and I realized I had been wearing a shower cap the whole time. I put it on way before all this other stuff and forgot it was there. And I realized that the whole time we were having sex, he must have been looking at the shower cap, and he didn't mention it or suggest I take it off. What's up with men? Could I have been wearing a Jack Pumpkin head on my head? What would I have to be wearing on my head for him not to have a boner anymore? Then, a separate time, we were watching a documentary on TV about serial killers, and he started touching my breasts. And that's where I personally have to draw the line and say no, because those are two independent emotions that I don't want to experience at the same time. Also, I don't want to hear any music while having sex. First of all, it's melodramatic and highly embarrassing, but mainly it's a distraction. When I listen to music, I generally try to concentrate on it and hear everything about it, so basically it is a multitasking scenario that's been created. Too many things to pay attention to at the same time for no good reason. Additionally, and this refers mainly to the embarrassment, but I have a tendency to envision that the singer of the band is there in the room with you being uncomfortable while you have sex. Don't make singers have to endure that type of humiliation if possible. They don't want to think that that's what they've contributed to your life. Obviously, the next question I need to answer is, how often do I take it in the ass? That is something I would definitely do every once in a while as a favor. I wouldn't do it for myself, though, because it's mildly unpleasant, and I would feel relieved when it was over. It's not that bad. It's better than filing taxes, for example, but I can't say I ever enjoyed it either. One thing I would like to do, though, however, at some point, is get effed in the ass as a Christmas present to my boyfriend. Then I think I would really enjoy it, as long as it's on Christmas. If you happen to be reading this book, and then one day we end up dating in the future, remind me that I said this should be your Christmas present. And here's another thing. I don't understand why girls won't give their gentleman friend a blowjob more often. Think of it this way. If some people were trapped in an elevator and all you had to do was push a button and they could get out, why wouldn't you do it? Isn't that inhumane? Wait, did my analogy even make sense? In conclusion of this chapter, I think it would be funny to consider, what if something I had written here chanced to give you a boner, and then you found out I didn't actually write it at all, and it was all ghostwritten by a man? Ha ha, fooled you. This was all penned by Gary the Dick Man, who has a dick. And now, consequentially, you're gay. Just so you know, it was all written by me, and I am in all ways biologically a female, so if you got a boner, then everything is cool, but it could have happened. Bottom line, cats. Are you obsessed with cats? When you meet people, do you ask them for a complete detailed physical description of their cat? Do you like to call your cat a different name every time you speak with him/her? I don't really like cats that much, but here is a list of all the names I often call my cat. Mango Child, Miniature Man, Cat Burger, Hamburger Man, Fatso, The Tiniest Biggest Man, Wigwam, Cat Man, Orange Ball, The Bag Man, Little Mega Worm, and Kitty Hamber. When I said I wasn't that into cats, could you tell I was joking? Could you tell that I was extremely enthusiastic about cats that whole time? My first internet porn. I'll never forget the first time I saw porn on the internet. The website was called ArizonaWhores.com. It was a few years back in the day, but it still seems like yesterday. I'm trying to look up the site right now, but all I'm getting is connecting to ArizonaWhores.com. Oh, damn it. The connection is timed out. The server at ArizonaWhores.com is taking too long to respond. Sigh. Anyway, let me tell you about this website, because it was so special, and I'm sure there's never been another one like it before or since. When I looked through the pages, I was regaled with story after story of these incredible men, one of whom was named Spaz, who would always drive around and just happen to find a young woman of Arizona standing outside an office or a restaurant. In each case, they would offer her money, put her in their truck, then go to their house and bang her. The tale would always end when the men would decide to forego the monetary aspect of the transaction and send the slut on her way penniless. In the corner of the page, it said, "The fuck for free state." You might ask, but how could all this be true? I have to say there's no doubt in my mind that these events all really happened, because there were hundreds of pictures to prove it. Believe me, the veracity of these stories would stand up in any court of law, no question, since the evidence was very, very graphic. Every scene was immaculately well lit, and the camera focus was exemplary at all times. There was no dark or blurry corner in any frame of the many adventures of Spaz.